This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, September 30th, 2014 edition of Invest Talk, and it's the end of the month. It was a pretty ugly month for the markets. Not, I don't want to say ugly, but it wasn't pretty, that's for sure. And so we close out the quarter. I believe it was pretty flat overall for the quarter on the S&P. Not a whole lot doing. And on today's show, we're going to talk about factoring in human capital. Human capital. What is human capital? If you went to business school, you'll know what human capital is. But in business school, it's thought about in a different way. Today, we're going to talk about human capital in a singular form, an individual form. Okay, I think this is a great topic to discuss. You know, a lot. Some are talking points. You can't always have a dynamite talking point every day. But I think this is a dynamite talking point. I love this talking point. It's one of the best ones I think we've had in a long, long time because it's something very different. You know, and a lot of people don't discuss human capital, but it really is something you should think about for yourself, for your kids, friends and family. It is a factor, should be a factor, in your decision making when it comes to just your life in general. Now, welcome to our Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. This is our 1 hour session about the many sides of your money, and we are all in this together. So please feel free to share your views on today's world of money. Now, we all have our own story, and I'd love to hear yours and the ups and downs in your investing experience. You can get your question or comment to us at 888-99-CHART or via Twitter at our Twitter handle at InvestTalk with two T's, or you can get a note directly by clicking on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. That will go directly to me, and I can answer your question. Now, what do you need to know more about? After talking with hundreds of investors over the years, we know that many would appreciate a quick overview of all the aspects of retirement preparation. Now, what if you could spend 3 hours and feel you had a good understanding of all the parts that go into a successful retirement action plan? Well, that's exactly what we have prepared for you this Saturday, October 4th, at the San Jose Hyatt House. It's our Saturday Morning Wealth Workshop. Again, we're calling this a workshop because it's going to be very interactive. It's going to be a very interactive event, and it's going to help you get a handle on the full scope of retirement planning, from wills and trusts to life insurance, 529 Coverdale plans, IRAs, brokerage accounts, annuities, Social Security, pension income, and much, much more. And we're going to show you how to build aggressive, moderate, conservative portfolios depending on your needs. Because there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. You need to understand how to shape a plan for your personal situation, which is exactly what we do for clients. So this is going to be an insight in our process and how you need to think about that. Now, we will show you step-by-step how to use our free risk analysis tool that you can use anytime on investtalk.com, but we're going to give you a step-by-step. What does it mean? How do you use it? Now, the idea is to make sure that your present retirement portfolio is well matched with you and your life situation. When you say you, meaning your personality, do you like to be aggressive, conservative, moderate? What do you like to be? And then how does that line up with where you should be in your life situation? If your personality is aggressive, that doesn't mean that you should just be aggressive. Depends on how much money you have, what your goals are. Maybe it's foolish to be aggressive because you have enough money to get where you want to be, and therefore you really should be conservative. And then vice versa. Maybe you want to be conservative, but you should probably get a little more aggressive because you need to based on your goals. So these are the things that we are going to discuss, and I hope you can make time for this. Like I said, it's coming up on October 4th, this Saturday, at San Jose Hyatt House. Both Steve and I are looking forward to this one greatly. I think it's going to be one of the best ones we've ever done. Now, it should really make a difference in your retirement planning life. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com, and we hope to see you there. Now, you can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, on InvestTalk, or in between programs, in between times. Just leave your question. Are we going to go to a listener line call, or are we going to go to a live caller? Oh, we're going to go to a live caller. Let's go to Kieran in Fremont. How are you doing, Kieran?
Good, sir. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing well. What can I do for you?
I have a question about my portfolio and about this is more like a general question on investing strategy. Mm-hmm. I am 35 years old, and I'm primarily a passive index-based, investor.
Okay.
I invest mostly in index funds and ETFs.
Okay.
But I do also have a pretty significant portfolio in some of these big blue chip companies, like individual stocks like Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. So my question is, I've been observing the market pretty closely, and since the valuations are at an all-time high, where should one look to invest? You know, please note that I'm a long-term investor, and I have a 10-year horizon, so I'm looking at, should I just continue to do dollar cost averaging, or should I look for value in some of the big blue chips, or should I venture into something like small caps, or maybe REITs or some alternatives? I'd really appreciate your suggestion on that.
Yeah, well, long term, the market 10 years from now, the market will likely be higher. Let's be frank with that.
Right.
Now, the big question, though, always question I ask when someone tells me they're an index investor, they're a passive investor, that type of thing. You know, if the market goes down like it did in 2007, 2008, early 2009, 40%+, which don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. That is something that happens fairly regularly throughout history of the markets. And if I say fairly regularly, every 15, 20 years, you get something like that. Is that within the context of your ability to handle?
Yes,
okay.
And I would like to invest more during downtimes.
Yeah, and that's
so
that's,
I can get
that's,
it cheap.
I like your mindset. Most people don't have that mindset; they usually panic out. But you say you have that wherewithal to handle that, and that's good. Then the big question is, where do you want to be? Well, long term, over an extended 20-year period plus, small caps have done the best. So,
okay.
Maybe you want to lean on that, and you're only 35, so you have a long period of time. Now, today, that's probably not where I would lean. Like you said, valuations at an all-time high, things are very expensive. We're in very bubble-ish territory. And small
right.
caps are probably the worst place you can be in the, short to medium term. So right,
right.
now, what I would probably do is I would shift your weight of your dollar cost averaging towards large caps, S&P 500 type of indexes. But then when you see a big bear market and you see a big downturn in the economy and you see that opportunity, like you said, when the market goes down, you get excited, you want to buy more, and I like that attitude, then maybe you start shifting your weight of your dollar cost averaging into more small cap companies. You know what I mean?
Right.
Does that
but
make sense?
Aren't the large caps also at an all-time high?
Well, they are. They are. But in a big downturn, they're going to hold up better, right? They're going to hold up better.
Okay.
And you're going to get a deeper discount during the bear markets in things like small caps. And so that's where I would lean. Right now, I lean towards large caps. Typically, real estate, REITs are fairly conservative, but I think right now there's a lot can be said about how real risky that the real estate market is. I think it's riskier than it normally is. So
right.
I wouldn't say push it there. But like I said, lean towards the large caps. I like your Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson type of names that you're discussing. Lean there
right.
now. But then when a bear market comes, lean into riskier areas of the market.
Right. What do you think about the international ETFs? Because it seems like it's a little low, the FTSE indexes.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
the valuations are definitely cheaper than our
Right.
domestic markets. So that's not a bad way to go. But they all are also more susceptible to big downturns. So I think that's where you want to lean when you see a big bear market, because that's people usually run away from foreign markets first before they run away from the US market. So that's why I'm
Okay.
saying in the short to medium term, that's probably not the best place to be. But when you do see a bear market, I would include those emerging markets, foreign, the IFA in with the small caps is a place you want to lean during a
Right.
recession.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate your information.
No problem, Kieran. Thanks for calling in. 888-99 chart is our number, 888-992-4278. Now, for young to middle-aged investors, the importance of other asset classes pales in comparison to human capital. Human capital. How human capital factors in your portfolio. That's our main talking point today. But I also have some other ones as well. Even though I really love our main talking point, I'm going to try to get to some other ones. Margin debt. Where is margin debt today? And what is margin debt? Do you know what margin debt is on the market? We're going to discuss that and how that compares to history. We also had a consumer confidence report out today. What did it say? Positive, negative? Discuss that. Then I want to get to two, hopefully, at some point. Yesterday I didn't really get to these because we had a lot of callers, and hopefully we have a lot of callers today. But if we don't, we can discuss Bill Gross's exit from PIMCO and what that's going to mean. Maybe some people out there hold PIMCO Total Return Bond Fund, which is the largest bond fund, mutual fund in the world. What does that mean? And then China's false dawn, something we can discuss as well. So those are on the docket today, but first on the docket is always your question. So please give me a call if you have a question and you want a good answer on any money issues. A quick update on today's market. The Dow closed down about 28 points, NASDAQ down 13, S&P down 6. Oil was up slightly, it looks like. Gold down about $3. Nothing big there. What else? What else? What else? They had that consumer confidence report. I'll say this right now. It wasn't that spectacular, but I will talk about that coming up. So we closed out the month down on all the major indexes, and small caps really, really got killed. They closed at the lowest level. Today, small caps, this is the Russell 2000, closed at the lowest level since early May. And it's threatening, just a couple more percentage points down, you're going to be at the lows of the year on the small caps. And I think that's a big warning sign. Big warning sign. The biggest positive I saw in the market today were junk bonds. Junk bonds rebounded a little bit. They were oversold. And so they did pretty well. Yields on the overall, on the treasury yields ticked up slightly after yields fell for the last couple weeks. And overall, the market was not so hot. Really not so hot. Only real bright spot was that junk bond market. Now there's a new way to get into the conversation on InvestTalk. Answer our Twitter poll. Here's a question. While math shows it's better to make sure you have your retirement accounts before funding college expenses, are you putting your child's education ahead of your retirement savings? We'd love to read your answer on the program. Send it via Twitter now to @InvestTalk. That's @InvestTalk with two T's. And you can get your question to us the same way as well. Or the old-fashioned telephone works as well. 888-99-CHART.
Let it do its magic. Try our free risk analyzer. It takes about 3 minutes. It's a handy tool that can tell you a lot about how you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It's there for you on investtalk.com.
Human capital. Human capital. It's a topic not often discussed, but I think it's very interesting. If any of you out there went to business school, you understand and you know about the term human capital. Now, in business school, it's defined from a business owner's perspective. And human capital within a business is the talent level you have inside that business, right? The employees you have, the expertise that they have, the schooling that they have. That's human capital from a business perspective. But what about an individual investor's perspective? We're going to talk about that coming up on the show. What is your human capital? How much do you have? How do you improve it? And what does that mean for your overall portfolio? Those are the things that we're going to discuss. Now, the factors that make a difference in your investing decisions, your age, your goals, what you want to accomplish by investing, the time frames for your goals, and your attitudes towards risk. Lots to talk about.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next InvestTalk, enriching a college education with a forward-thinking plan for building wealth. 5 investing tips for ambitious college students. That's our talking point for Wednesday, October 1st, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. And if you're near Northern California, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Workshop at the San Jose Hyatt House on October 4th. That's coming up soon. You can find out more about it and register, too, if you'd like, on investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Justin Klein. Is there a question that you've been saving? Why keep it to yourself? Justin's here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Get back to the phones. I'm ready for any money questions at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia. What's your take on Tupperware? The ticker symbol is T as a Tom, U as an umbrella, P as a Paul. I don't own it, but it looked really, it's taken a big beating on it. Look forward for your wisdom. Thank you. Bye.
All right, this is Tupperware Brand Corporation, manufacturer and network marketer offering food storage containers and preparation serving items via 2.9 million members. Tupperware is taking a hit because of the likes of Herbalife and Nu Skin, that whole multi-level marketing type of system is not where the market loves. The market's not loving it. So that's why they're really taking it on the chin. Now, is this attractive at this point? I'm still probably going to say no. It's a lot cheaper than it was. You know, the P range is 10 to 18. It's at 12, so it's on the lower end. But the big question is, where will it be attractive? Where will it be attractive? It's at actually some decent support. I'm not going to lie. It's at some decent support right here around $69 a share. The 200-week moving average is what it is. It had a high at the end of last year. Then this whole sector has really gotten killed so far this year. It had a high of about $97 a share, and now it's at $69 a share. So it's had a pretty strong tumble. Oversold. I'm trying to see if I see any indication that it might rebound. It's having a slight MACD divergence. It looks like it might have a chance, but I'm not going to buy it yet. I think it's good to have on the radar. You know, it yields 3.9%, 79% return on equity. That's very high, but the reason they have it so high is because they carry a lot of debt. 245% debt to equity ratio. That is not low by any means. So if, you know, to me, that's a big worry, especially in a market where junk bonds are hurting. If they need to go to market and borrow money, it's going to cost a little bit more. Maybe they don't get the full allotment of what they need to borrow. It does seem like they're paying down some of that debt, but it's still at an elevated level, which worries me. So I like where he's looking. I like that it hasn't beaten down, but it's also been beaten down pretty extensively, and that a lot of times means a good buying opportunity. But it seems like a risky name because they're not growing their earnings. Not declining, but it's not going up. And they have a lot of debt. And when you have a lot of debt, you're probably not rated very high. And if the junk bond market takes a dive, that could be an issue as well. So I like the idea so far. I keep it on your watch list, but don't buy it yet. I would say I would like to pick it up. Let me give you a level. I would pick it up if it got down into the below $50 a share. Now, I know that seems like a far away, a big dive from here, but that's entirely possible. So $45, $50 a share, that's where I would be. Human capital. Great topic to discuss today. And we need to talk about human capital in the context of an individual. In business school, it's talked about in context to a company and the type of talent they have within the business. But today we're going to talk about it on an individual basis. And one way you can increase your human capital, let me back up. Human capital is intangible. It cannot be directly purchased or sold. You build your human capital. And when you're young, you tend to have a lot of human capital because you have a lot of years left to work and use yourself to bring in money. When you're older and you're in retirement, you know, maybe your body isn't what it used to be. You don't have the energy that you used to have. Maybe your mind isn't as sharp as it used to be. And you don't have that much time between today and whenever, you know, you pass away. So your human capital is diminished greatly as you get older. So when you're young, you tend to have a lot of human capital, and there are ways to build your human capital. One is obviously to go to college, get an education. But there are other ways as well. You can do on-the-job training. Learning to be better in social situations, that's a way that you can improve your earning potential. So any way that you can improve yourself so that you can go out there and make money or continue to make more money, that is adding to your human capital base. Now let's give you a couple of examples. Now there's, you know, just like assets is as capital, you know, your financial assets, those are capital. There are risky types of human capital that you might have, and depending on who you are, you might have a risky type of human capital. So after the break, I'm going to talk about that. What type of capital do you have? Human capital. And then based on what type of human capital you have, how should you invest your portfolio? How should you gear your risk tolerance, all right? Now, a quick check of Steve's checkup dates. He will be in San Jose on October 22nd. If you'd like to schedule an hour for an individual retirement account checkup, Steve does a limited number of these. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Make an Appointment button. It's an hour well spent. This is Invest Talk.
This is Invest Talk as we continue now with your questions and comments too. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Justin right now.
Please don't hesitate to call us with your question or share your investing experience. Tell us about your portfolio. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime.
My first name is Liana, L-I-A-N-A, and I'm calling you. I was just astoundedly, amazingly happy when I came across your station by accident, and I was mesmerized. I've been listening all day today since I came upon your station, which I'm just so happy about. But the question being this, my children, we are executives of an estate, and our grandchildren, ages 10 and 7, are inheriting some money, and I'd like to know how we should invest it. We have priority over the money, as far as you want to choose that word, forever, actually. There's no set time as to when they receive the money, but we'd like to certainly give the money to them at a certain time and like to invest it in a very, very, you know, safe investment. And wondering what you have to offer, or if you, you know, might give us some advice. And thank you very much. I just love your program. Thank you very, very much. Bye-bye.
Well, first off, thank you for the great feedback on our show and our station in general. It sounds like she's been listening to the station for a long time. I'm not sure which one. Our most popular one is in the Bay Area, but how should she invest her grandchildren's money? Well, they're young. A lot of it depends on what your goals are. You know, is this a long term to when they want to retire, or is this money maybe going to go towards college, a house for them in the future? What are the goals for this money? So then you know the time horizon. And then you know, how conservative or aggressive do you want them to be? A lot of that should depend on your personality. It sounds like you're pretty conservative. So there are ways to be conservative. This is too big of a question for me to answer on the air. So I would encourage you to call myself or Steve. Just go to investtalk.com or kpfinancial.com. Click on the contact Justin, contact Steve button. Let us know that you want to have a conversation. We'll give you a call and we'll make it simple, make it easy, and we can gather a little bit more information. So it's a little bit more complex than I would like it to be on air. So let's take this off air. So give us a call. You can call our office too at 800-557-5461. That's another way you can reach our office. Let's go back to human capital. We talked a little bit earlier about what human capital is. It's intangible. It can't be purchased or sold. The way to build your human capital is by getting educated, improving anything about yourself that gives you the ability to earn more money. When you're young, you usually have a lot of human capital. When you're older, you have a lot less human capital. Okay. Now, how should you think about human capital in context to yourself? How much do you have? What type of human capital do you have? Do you have risky human capital? Or do you have conservative human capital? Now, if you're a highly specialized chemical engineer, for example, working in the oil industry or working in any major industry, your job or your skill set is fairly secure, right? Because you're specialized. There's not a lot of competition for what you do. You have a specialized skill set that is going to be constantly in demand. Now, if your skill set is going towards the oil industry, for example, and you work in that industry, you should probably not have a lot of assets, financial assets, that are also related to that industry and correlate with that industry. You know, maybe you should have more healthcare and telecom companies, financial stocks, things that are not correlated or less correlated with the overall industry. You know, if you work in the oil industry, you own a bunch of ExxonMobil and Chevron and, ConocoPhillips and all these big oil companies, and oil prices take a big dive and the whole sector goes kaput, like it did in 2008. There's going to be a lot of layoffs. Maybe you get laid off. And then just your financial assets went down as well. So that's something you need to understand. Now, if you're a broker, you're someone who's in sales, and your income might fluctuate regularly, you should probably be invested conservatively, because you need something to fall back on, because your income might fluctuate regularly. But if you're in a job and a skill set that's consistent and you're very, very secure, then maybe your financial assets can be aggressive. Now, what are the risks to your human capital? We talked about the type of risk of your human capital, but what are risks to that human capital, whether your human capital is risky or not? And the two main risks are death or disability and professional competency risk. So obviously death or disability is you pass away, your human capital is gone. Your family can no longer rely on any of your human capital. It's gone. Same with disability. You get disabled, the vast majority, if not all, of human capital, meaning your ability to make money, is gone. And so you need to protect against those things. So maybe, and when you're young, you probably need to worry about, you know, disability. Now, you might not have a lot of dependents that are relying on you, but you need to worry about losing all that human capital that you have between now and whenever you die, 50, 60 years ago, because you're young. And so when you're young, you have to worry about that. Now, professional competency risk, that's something that I think everybody has to worry about. And that means your skill set becomes obsolete. Think of a secretary who knew how to work a typewriter really well in the 60s and 70s. Well, by the 80s, that skill set really didn't matter anymore because everyone started typing on computers. Okay? So those are some risks to your human capital and how you need to think about it in context to yourself and your overall portfolio. Let's go to John in San Diego. How you doing, John?
Fine, Justin. I wanted to ask you about Tata Motors, TTM. What do you think of it?
Well, I like... This is India. You know this. When you're ever investing in a company that is primarily operating in one country, you have to think about that country as a whole first and foremost. So Tata Motors is an Indian company, and you need to think about India. And India just had an election. They have a new prime minister that a lot of people are excited about. They think that he's going to take them out of their economic rut that they've been in for the past 5 to 10 years and finally realize the potential of being one of the BRIC countries. Remember, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And China's done well and taken off, but India's really stagnated for a lot of reasons. And the belief is that this prime minister, who was the former, mayor or president or whatever of a region that had good economic growth in India, that he's going to apply that to the whole country and they're going to take off. Now, is that something that is, do I believe in? I think there's a lot of credence to it. I think there's a lot of problems politically. That's what's holding that country back. So I do buy into it somewhat, but it's only part of the picture. Then you got to go into the individual company. The fundamentals are improving. You know, they bought Land Rover and Jaguar back from Ford before the financial crisis, and it's really starting to pay off. The new Jaguar, I don't know if you've seen it, the new Jaguar, little sport, right. Two-door sports car, that thing is beautiful. And I start seeing it everywhere. That thing is amazing. I haven't driven one yet, but I've seen it, and it looks beautiful. So I like that. Now that's still not, you know, their primary business. It's still a growing part of their business. Their business is still primarily India. So you have to understand what's happening in India. Now, I like the company. I worry about emerging markets as a whole. I mean, this is an asset class, and India has been holding up a lot better than the overall emerging market. So I like that. You know, emerging markets recently have been in September did terrible, absolutely horrible in September. But India as a whole held up decently, and Tata Motors as a whole, while it was down on the month, compared to the emerging markets, it wasn't too bad. So there's risks there. To me, it's a risky name. I like the thought process. I like that it's on your radar. But I would still wait for see how their emerging markets can hold up. If they continue to sell off like they are now, it's definitely going to feed into India at some point and eventually Tata Motors. So that's something I would worry about. But I like what you're thinking, and I would keep on your watch list, but I would wait for emerging markets to gain some sort of semblance of stability. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Can I ask you a general question real quick?
Or
do you have time, Justin?
Yeah, go for
what about, you know, if one has a Roth IRA, you know, is there a minimum age you got to take it out? And when you take it out, is it in steps, or how does it work?
No, there is no minimum age that you have to take it out, because the only reason that IRAs ever have a mandatory distribution is because a traditional IRA, you haven't paid any taxes, and the government wants its taxes eventually. So the government forces you to take that out and pay taxes on that withdrawal. On a Roth IRA, you've already paid the tax. You put that money in post-tax, not pre-tax, post-tax. You already paid it. And when you take the money out, there's no taxes to be collected. So, yeah, you can keep it in there for as long as you want. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I appreciate it. I'm outside waiting. We got a meeting, but I'm by Mission Bay in San Diego, so it's a nice area here.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, you answered the questions great, Justin.
Awesome.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Thanks for calling in. Now it's time for Invest Talk 101, Keeping a Lid on Risk for Millennials. Now, millennials are more likely than other generations to be risk-averse. They hold 52% of their savings in cash and only 28% in stocks, according to a study. But investing conservatively or investing very little and holding your money in cash runs counter to conventional investment advice for young people, which says invest aggressively now while you have a long time horizon. This will allow you to recover from any losses you can recoup the compounding benefits of growth. Now, this goes directly to what we're going to discuss on the show or at the conference on Saturday, and something that we discuss with clients is that yes, traditional advice would say when you're young, you invest aggressively. Well, a lot of it depends on what your goals are. Do you plan to spend a lot in retirement? Are you saving a lot now? Are you risk averse generally? Which are like I said, a lot of millennials are. And sometimes it might be okay to invest conservatively. May not be right to invest aggressively. Maybe moderately is the way to go. Okay, so it really depends on your individual situation. So don't ever get too tied to one investment stance. You need to be flexible. Now, I'm not saying if you traditionally are conservative, should you go all the way to the aggressive side of the risk spectrum? No, because you probably wouldn't be able to sleep at night. But if you're educated about the market, you're educated about your situation and what it makes sense for your financial picture, then maybe you can go a little bit higher on the risk spectrum and still feel comfortable. So that's Invest Talk 101. Do you have questions about how to reduce risk in your portfolio? Give me a call now or click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. And please try our free risk analysis tool over there as well. It's becoming a very popular way to determine your own appetite for risk.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
Consumer Confidence Report came out today, and it declined in September to a four-month low, mainly because Americans view the labor market as deteriorating. It came in at 86 on the index. August readings was 93.4. And this monthly decline was the biggest since October of last year when we had the federal government federal shutdown. Remember that? So consumers are left less confident about short-term outlook for the economy and the labor market and somewhat mixed regarding their future earnings potential. We also had home prices come out. They rose at the slowest levels in almost 2 years since November of 2012. Nationally, prices rose about 5.6% year over year. That's not month over month, year over year. What else? The job market. Payrolls come out on Friday. Friday payrolls come out. And you know, last month it was kind of disappointing in August, but we're going to see what if that number jives with the confidence report that came out today. That will be released on Friday. Now, we're coming up on the last segment of the program. We have about 8 minutes left to get your call in. So let's try to get your question to us. Call us now at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. This is Invest Talk for Tuesday, September 30th, with portfolio manager Justin Klein, enriching a college education with a forward-thinking plan for building wealth. 5 investing tips for ambitious college students. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And of course, there's plenty of time to get through today. 888-99-CHART for your questions on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk a little bit about margin debt. Margin debt on the overall markets. Quick background for everybody. What margin is? Margin is when you borrow money to invest in stocks. You borrow money to invest in stocks. And the New York Stock Exchange releases its margin debt. It's net margin debt. So this includes the cash that's in individual brokerage accounts. And they release it usually at the end of the month for the previous month. So it's usually about a month old. But it's always interesting to watch because, you know, the amount of debt that's out there is, when the debt cycle turns, it can be a real, real big issue. Because what happens is, you know, you're leveraged, you know, you're borrowing money to invest in stocks. When things go down, you get what is called a margin call and you're forced to sell. And then that starts happening. Guess what happens when you're forced to sell? You start selling the other assets in your portfolio. That pushes prices down and that pushes somebody else into a margin call, et cetera, et cetera. And you have big drops like you saw in 2000. Through 2002, from 2007 to 2009, and that's really when they peaked. March, February, depending on the, you know, the metric you kind of want to look at. That's when it peaked, and then in July of 2007, just a couple months before the market peaked in 2007, margin debt peaked. Now, where are we today? Margin debt actually peaked earlier this year in, I believe it was in March. I'm trying to find the number. It was earlier this year. I'm trying to find it. February was the peak. And right now, we're about 1.9% below the February peak. So it's very worrisome. And if you look at the net credit, I mean investor credit in the market, meaning how much money are people borrowed minus how much money is in cash in brokerage accounts, it peaked at $130 billion during the tech bubble, early 2000. It peaked at about $80 billion in 2007. And today we are north of $180 billion. $180 billion, meaning there's a lot of debt out there. And things turn, that's a recipe for really, I don't say it, but disaster. So it's something everyone needs to look out for. Now let's answer one more question before we're done with this hour. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime. Let's answer this question from Steven in Los Angeles.
Yes, my question concerns the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And I'm curious, do we have any exposure as to any possible additional coverage that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation might have in the current economic climate? Thanks. Bye-bye.
It's a great question. I think it depends on your pension. And you need to also realize that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Company doesn't guarantee 100% sometimes. A lot of times they give you a haircut. You might still get your pension, but it might be a little smaller than you're expecting. So it really depends on your pension. You gotta talk to your pension, the head of your pension company, and figure out what type of protections you might have besides just the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. There's definitely other protections out there, but each plan is a little bit different. Thanks for calling in. Now let's close. We're going to close for this hour. There are so many reasons to join us October 4th in San Jose. That's this Saturday for our Wealth Workshop. The bottom line, it will help you map out your retirement readiness strategy. It's going to be great. We're going to get a lot of great feedback. I already feel it. If you want to sign up, go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein. On behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.